pull up a chair, but don't forget to bring wood. You're at the fire pit.
Love the socks.
I miss the sock.
What are you talking about,
socks? Oh, I like the sock. Look, that's cool.
What socks are you talking about?
I got them Mario socks.
Oh, I thought that was a tattoo.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
That would be a sick tattoo.
That would be a sick tattoo.
I'm getting it tomorrow.
Oh. Amy.
You got Mario tattoos.
You know anybody who does them kind of things?
Oh, will you stop?
I'm kind of jealous. Christy, go get me some, like, medical tape and a chopstick and stuff.
I know, right?
She looks actually, like she's eating a bowl of pho right now.
Yeah, is that pho?
No, it's
pho.
It's pronounced pho.
That's a pho.
Are you pho real?
It's, oh my gosh.
Are you pho real?
It's salad. Yeah. It's salad with chicken and bacon and ranch. So it's a bacon chicken ranch salad. Yeah,
like so it's like a an anti-salad then.
So it's not a salad?
We used to do no meat Mondays. I don't know if you realized
we
did that.
What?
I never did heard that. About he didn't know. And then he was like, "Can we please have meat on the salad?" So that's where that started. Now we have double meat.
You know, last week we did our we did a vegan cook where we invited all of our vegetarian friends and we cooked like a vegan meal or whatever. Made like this curry cauliflower stuff and like I don't know, it was all this like super seasoned up vegetables is basically what it was. It came out pretty good though. It was pretty filling. Made me fart a lot the next day.
Oh my gosh. Vegan stuff does that?
Oh, definitely, dude. They warned us of that, too. They were like, look, just so you know, you're going to be farting like 4 hours after this. Okay, dude. Yeah.
So why would you want to be that way? I don't know.
Come. Yeah, decide,
it was delicious.
Sign a waiver beforehand.
Yeah.
This is the side of things.
You know, my aunt does all this sugar-free stuff, right? She makes all this sugar-free, like, not this thing. I didn't eat it this Thanksgiving, but she makes sugar-free pumpkin pie. And it really wasn't.
Yeah,
it's not really.
It's crustless.
It's not good.
There's
okay.
No crust.
There's no crust, and it's not good in the first place. Regardless,
the point where something doesn't have crust, it can't be a pie.
It's a pudding, right?
It's a pumpkin
pudding. It's a pudding.
Pudding.
But it's sugar free, right?
And you ate so much.
It didn't
of it.
Taste that good, but when you put a lot of whipped cream on it, it's edible.
So it's good when you put a lot of sugar on it.
Right. I didn't want her to feel bad, so I ate it. And then she was like, here, take it home. So I didn't want her to feel bad, so I brought it home. Man. Then they didn't tell me about the whole, if you eat a lot of sugar-free stuff, you're going to have like some of the nastiest gas you've ever had in your life.
Oh, no.
And my stomach hurt, and I was like, so every time she offers me sugar-free stuff now, I politely decline.
All that stuff is like one molecule short of plastic, so when it combines with your stomach acid, it reforms into this like gaseous plastic ball that you got to pass out, dude.
What are you talking about?
It's yeah, like that's how it works. I did my research. Come on, dude.
You're telling me pumpkin's pie like
never saying pumpkin's pie.
Sugar free aspartame.
Let's just take what I'm saying as truth and move on.
Okay.
I like that.
We're doing virtually grown ups now, Pat.
Yeah. Google it, bing it.
All right.
So we're on fire pit now?
I guess so. It's pretty much like
it's happening right now.
I have the timer really going this time, so it's going to go off.
Before it goes off, it's going to go down. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I hear
you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
So, I guess officially on the fire pit tonight, we've got the whole boom crew. Cute Christy, Kel, Karen, me. And then we got these guys, Ricky and Zach, my brother. And then our special guest, Tyler. And Beaumont from Hurricane Pro. Yeah, yeah.
Nope, nope.
It's a full house.
Next week is Hurricane Pro, right?
This Saturday.
What's it called? Battle for Glory? No, it's not Battle for
Battle
Glory.
For glory? It? Come on, Kevin.
Okay, it's Battle something. Right?
No,
what is it?
It's Glory. Hold on.
Glory and Power. Glory and Pain.
Oh my gosh.
Am I getting it close? Am I getting
it close?
He's not invited.
I just got an email.
Look, man, I'm not. I'm not working. I'm just shooting.
I just got an email from. I just got an email from Richard Cranium. He said we're fine.
He doesn't remember the name.
This is my question: is if it's a no rope battle royal, and me and Huke are standing on the outsides with cameras, does that technically make us legal men in the match?
Oh my god!
No, that's scary.
I have to ask. Do you know about this no rope battle royal, Tyler? Have you seen or participated in
this
before?
You can't tell us.
You're breaking up on us, buddy.
Cut out a little bit, dude. What'd you say?
Like the day before. I went to a Hurricane Pro show like 2 years ago, and I saw the no rope battle royal.
Oh yeah.
That was my first. Actually, that was the day before I started wrestling training. So.
Oh wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. It gets confusing because it's double elimination, but like after you get a hold of it, you're like, okay, this is actually really cool.
You got to go in and you got to go out. That's the rule, right? They got to go in the ring and then go out of the ring.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll show me a little bit of love and not knock me out too soon because I'm a hometown boy. So.
Well, see, Christy had this theory that if you just don't get thrown in, then you can't get eliminated.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
You got some insurance now, dude. You're friends with the camera guys. We'll throw you back in there. We'll catch you.
Oh.
They try to throw you out. We'll just catch you and throw you back in.
Or bring another camera. I can disguise myself as a cameraman. And they will.
That's great.
There you go.
That's basically my game plan. So, kayfabe, keep it down.
Yeah. See,
we're looking forgward to it. It's fine. We've had a lot of fun working with them.
We filmed a battle royal before, and it was quite the task.
I wasn't when you did the battle royal.
Oh yeah,
I filmed it. I missed that one.
But even editing it's like
it's better than going to USWX. I can tell you that for sure.
Oh snap! I believe you, man.
It's a snap at the place that I trained at. It's funny.
So that was that. I don't want to like get too deep into it, but we visited that promotion once, right? That was talked about that.
That's when we went to, where was it?
Yeah, out there under the pavilion, right?
Oh, that was that one?
Yeah.
That was the one I got, y'all went to the show that I couldn't go at because I think I was at WrestleMania. I was in Dallas.
Yeah.
It was WrestleMania weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Dallas about to go to NXT, and then I heard that you guys were filming. I was like, oh, those guys did great in Bridge City. They're going to do good for, you know, USWA.
Yeah, in all honesty, like I mean, we've made friends that were at that show. We've had friends that have gone on since we met them there and stuff, and we're still working with them. But in all honesty, like we saw some stuff at that show that we've never seen at other shows. That was actually pretty funny and great. Like I know that's where we saw the Young Lions guys.
Oh yeah,
and those guys were great. And they had the other character that was like they had the other guy with a transgender gimmick or whatever. I can't remember what his name was.
Mikey Sparkles or something.
Yeah. And there was a lot of stuff that stuck out at that show.
He actually lives in Beaumont.
Really?
Yeah.
There was definitely some cool people and some entertaining stuff at that show. It was just a ways. Drive out there was a ways for us for sure.
Oh, yeah. My trainer is one of the guys that you guys actually interviewed. So, yeah.
Cool.
I was a junior.
I did a little stint at tugboat school like a couple of years ago. I went to tugboats for a few months. And then I took like a couple of months off and I went back for a little while. But I worked with like Lone Star for a little bit and did some work with them and stuff. But we've gone to other stuff on that side of town. So this going over to Beaumont and stuff is all new to us. And I've just been out of it. I don't have like good transportation, and I'm like kind of broken. Like my back is messed up and stuff, so I don't want to hurt myself too much more. I guess
broken Kevin Show. Yeah. You can make it again.
Yeah, brother Hugh.
Yeah, we did practice last week.
Yeah.
And I hit the ring line, so it killed me.
Yeah.
I remember we did that. Seabrook Music Festival. And Kevin had like,
oh yeah, I just got out of, like I was hitting it hard at that time, and like my back was screwed up, dude.
I told him you were walking away, and I said, "Did Kevin always walk like that?"
Well, the thing was, is I wasn't hurting my back at practice. I was hurting my back at work by carrying stuff, and so it's my. I don't know. It's just like at this point, really, like I just feel like it's a safer bet for me to not get involved as a worker, just to like be involved on a different level, because I'm just not nimble enough. Something like that.
Well, we got a ring announcer retiring this Saturday. You can become a ring announcer.
That's awesome, man. I mean, like, even just saying it off the cuff, but like, I mean, really, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking at, is like, if I'm going to be involved with wrestling, that's the kind of level that I'd have to be involved in. And plus, I'm 6'4", so I feel like I'm too big to be a ref. Like,
kinda.
I don't know if that, maybe not on the lower levels, but like, you don't see many 6'4" refs, you know.
You have to do with the tall.
What's that? Oh, dang. Did we lose him?
Hilarious.
Sorry, dude. You're cutting out, man. We can edit if you're. Yeah, you can. You just say what you said again if you're. You just keep cutting out a little bit.
I don't know why I'm cutting out. I got everything set up. All right. Well, I said that you can do what the interviewers do for WWE. They just like spread their legs and make it look taller.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot on here. The Tomspiracy. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tom.
I
just
watch
has
a
to
lot of what. Like I watch like a lot of what culture, and that's what they call it.
That stuff is great too, man. I love the show that they've been putting on. We watched the first What Culture pay-per-view whenever they did it, and I loved it. That character Kirby that they have a lot of like great guys. And then like that Big Damo that was wrestling for them, he's coming to Performance Center now. Big Damo is going to come over to NXT, I guess. So I don't know. It's just they do a good job of putting on a show. Actually, they've got a lot of people behind them.
That's the main thing, right? Putting on a good show.
Yeah.
So you've been doing the wrestling for how many years?
Oh, it's coming up on 3.
Gotcha.
So, I've been I trained for like 4 months. I was not ready at all, but then I started traveling.
Yeah.
I've been traveling ever since.
You trained in MoMA?
No, I trained at USWX in Livingston, and found out that I was awful and came to Beaumont, and basically I learned on the road everything that I know now. Like, I kind of just picked it up as I learned and just worked with people that are way better than me. So.
Right. You go to Louisiana and stuff? You work that circuit, like the Southeast Texas, Louisiana?
I haven't tackled Louisiana yet. I've been just tackling all Texas, especially East Texas. I've been going to League of Lions and Marshall. I've been going to TEW and Gladewater. I don't know if y'all know where that is, but
because here in Crosby,
tackling all the questions.
Right here in Crosby, like Hambone is Hambone's from Crosby, and I knew Hambone. I kind of got in not through him, but like I knew some family of his, and I was going in with a family member of his, and so we've always been close with Hambone and stuff, and so like he's all the promotions that he's worked and stuff. Like, we just try to keep in touch with, like, that's the kind of scene that we're working in too. We're everywhere the Hambone is, we are.
Hambone's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy, dude. I see him in my job all the time. I have a meat cutter here in town, and like I see him coming in the store all the time.
That's awesome.
That's how we kind of got involved, was Hambone. He asked us to come do the, what was it? The one in Bridge City, STW.
It was like, I saw the highlight package. It was really cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, it only lasted like one show.
I thought it was going to be a big like uprising, and I was like, oh, they're coming back.
That's what they said, man. They were like the dude was talking to us. He was like he wanted to like meet with us and have us do like some contracts and stuff and everything like that. And I was like, oh man, that's cool. And then it just kind of like, I feel bad too because Hambone.
They had family issues, right? That's what it was. It was like some kind of family problem that they had to Sonya.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a bunch of bad stuff that happened to the dude. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I mean, a bunch of bad stuff.
But the point is those guys knew what they were doing. It was like, it was really promising after Lone Star shut down. We found this other promotion that was actually doing good stuff. And so now we just got to keep looking. We got Hurricane. Hurricane's doing awesome stuff. You know, the Hurricanes in Beaumont. I've always watched Hurricane. And I was watching, I remember like 3 years ago seeing Raymond's and like a bunch of different guys like going through Hurricane, but we never went out there to go see a show. But those guys were working those shows 3 years ago when we were going to Lone Star. They were still going out there to Hurricane, so they've been doing it for a while.
Are the guys in the background playing Paper Rock Scissors?
Probably so.
They'll do
I see
that.
It in the back.
We're listening. Oh, we are listening.
The guy at the bottom. On a hat, no one noticed.
I noticed Kel's hat.
It's so
what was the Duke was telling me a little bit about you, saying that you've been doing the wrestling and that you want to do something with stand up comedy too. That's like an interest of yours.
Yeah, I've been traveling so much that it, like I was in music, I was in a band like four years ago. And it got really burnt out because I was traveling every weekend, and I was only in high school, I had to balance school, and I had to balance school, and then I had to balance like a traveling band, and I had to write new music, and I had to record, and it was just really frustrating. So I got burnt out on music, and I was like, well, I don't want that to happen with wrestling because I've been doing it, I've been like watching it since I was 6 years old. So
yeah,
you know, so. So I was like, okay, I need to slow down on my traveling, just focus on Hurricane and do something else that will bide my time, that will make me happy at the same time. And the only thing that I've been, you know, I really love is comedy. Like, I love to laugh, so.
Have you done open mics and stuff already?
I'm doing one this, I believe they have one this Friday, that is one that Hugh actually introduced me to the other day when we were messaging.
Course Live or what?
Yeah.
Court
Grinders Live? Yeah. You're going to come to Court Grinders?
Yeah. Open mic this Friday, I think.
I'll see you there, man. That's our turf. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
I'm doing a set that night, too.
I saw they posted an event because I followed their page, and anytime they like post something, it comes up on my phone. Mm-hmm. And they made an event for this Friday, open mic, and I was like, I might go tackle that this Friday.
Yeah, they do it. Their show is every other week. They do a show, and they do is we're in Baytown, so we're about 30 minutes outside of Houston, and then they do a 45 minute open mic block, and then they'll bring three comics from downtown Houston in, and man, it's like no show has been disappointing. Like every time they bring comics in from Houston, they do really well. And the room is really good, and everybody, I can just tell you, like, everybody's going to be real accepting of you and stuff. It's no pressure. It's a real comfortable cool room to work.
My wife wanted to come, but then I was like, no, like, because I don't want to, like, let her like.
Hey, man, I know how that goes.
Sorry. These people are leaving.
What?
No, not with you. Like, when I started playing music, what was it? Almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anybody to see me. Like, I wanted to go to open mics that nobody was at or whatever.
Right.
And then I played two open mics and then got the Front Porch Society gig. And I didn't want nobody to come. And Chrissy invited everybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, for the first 6 months of me playing music, I had to have total silence going to the gigs. And
yes, no radio at all.
No radio. Don't roll down the window. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
I got to focus.
It was very tense.
But then it got to the point where you get comfortable. You know, it's just like anything. Once you get comfortable, you get in the groove, you know. So.
Right. That's what I was telling my brother, too. We were talking about, we were in Houston all day. We went and rode around Houston and went to, like, we went to Eighth Wonder Brewery and, like, went to a hot sauce store. We, like, did this whole run through downtown Houston today.
It's called Iburn.
Yeah, Iburn was the – and then they just sold, like, Kraft hot sauce.
Hot sauce on everything, so yeah. I would have to go to that.
I just started making hot sauce. I made my first batch of hot sauce yesterday. It came out really well.
Did y'all video that?
I didn't video it. I didn't want to video it because I didn't know how it was going to come out, and I didn't want to make like I didn't want to video it coming out bad for the first time. So I wanted to make sure I could do it.
I gotcha. I feel you.
It's like you with the open mic thing, like you were saying. I didn't want nobody to see me for my first time, you know. But
ashamed of me. Ashamed of it. Look at him. You heard his feelings back there.
As far as the comedy thing goes, it's just like anything else. Where like the more you do it, the easier it gets. And like it's Bill Burr. I saw something that Bill Burr said earlier this week that was like, basically, if you can deal with failure, then you can succeed in this business or whatever. And that's what they're saying is like, there's so much, and I've done maybe 30 mics and you know, 27 of them have been bad.
You've done 30 open mics, dude?
Probably. Yeah. Probably since I started, if you think back to the Juggalo, cause I hit them hard. I would say 30 is pushing it. I'd say I've done at least 20, but I didn't keep count, you know, keep count. But like, there was some nights where I hit 4 mics in Houston, you know, cause you can do that.
Oh geez.
And I did that for like a week, 1 week, where I hit 3 mics a week. And so it's just that I don't want to count that shit as like experience. You know what I mean? Even though it is experience, I'm not going to put myself over, but it's still,
it's stage time, man. That's what's important.
Yeah, it's stage time. And like, it gets easier. And like, there's nights where like you're really comfortable and you don't even do your material. You just kind of say stuff and blow it, and even though you're blowing it, it's more fun than if you were doing your material.
See, I couldn't do comedy, like stand-up comedy. We do this and people think that it's a comedy thing we do. Even it's Mysterious Boom, they're like, oh, it's a comedy show about this, and it's like, but we're just on here just like, there's nothing, we don't have a plan, we just kind of go with
we don't plan any of our jokes or anything. Nothing. Everything that we say on here is just like we're going.
So but what was the last time you planned something?
What's that, Tyler?
What did you say?
I was like, that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, with comedy, when I announced it, I didn't have any hate towards anybody. Like, no one gave me hate or anything like that. I got like wrestlers messaging me saying that like you should do better at wrestling.
Yeah, don't worry about comedy, just start training more kind of advice.
Yeah, like my buddy, like he's a really good friend. I'm not burying him or anything. I'm not throwing him under the bus or anything like that. He thought I guess the context sounded like I was quitting wrestling. But really like in the message I put, like, I'm just slowing down on it.
Right.
And, one of my best friends, Jared, he's actually in the show. He was, like, commenting. He was like, well, you should, like, if you're not happy with the spot that you're in with wrestling, that means that's on you. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not happy with my spot in wrestling, but I'm also not happy, you know?
So he kind of misunderstood. He thought you were just going to, like, stop.
He thought I was quitting. Like, he thought, you know.
Well, I mean, what they're saying isn't necessarily false, dude. Like, if you just, like, I mean, that's like, if you just put all your energy into wrestling, then sure, you would flourish a lot more. Like, my mentality, the kind of guy I am, I put a lot of stuff into different stuff. And Huke's the same way. Kel's the same way. We all put all of our stuff into different or avenues, like music or podcast or video or stand-up or whatever it is. And so the way I've always thought of it is like, I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm not great at any one thing.
Right. Well, I was thinking about this the other day.
You concentrate that energy, sure, you'd be better at it. But who's to say that you have to? You
know, do what you I was thinking do. About this the other day, dude, because it pisses me off sometimes when people are like, they talk to me like the only thing I ever did was like play music or whatever. And they're like, why aren't you playing shows? You know, you haven't played that many shows this year. Because I'm like, I got other interests that I enjoy, too.
Yeah.
I'm not one-dimensional. I don't think it's a bad thing, you know?
I don't know. Like, it's more like a – it's – I don't know. People think that you sign a contract when you start a new hobby that you have to stay with that hobby for the rest of your life. And it's not true.
No, you're like, right.
It's like – I've talked to so many comedians. Like, I've – there's this comedian called Steve Hofstetter, and
I know Steve. I don't know him, but I'm very familiar with his videos.
Yeah, Yeah, and I've messaged him like back and forth, and I've asked him like, hey, you know, like, do you have other interests? And he was like, yeah, I have other interests. Like, why would I just commit myself to comedy? He was like, this is my career, which is true. He does that for a full-time gig, but he says, I have other interests. He was like, I have four other hobbies that I put my time into.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking on him, dude, I think he's a guy that in the next 3 or 4 years, he'll probably be a lot bigger name than what he is right now, too. Because they say in comics have like a 10-year training period. Have you heard that? Have you looked into that? Where they say, like, you're not good until you've been doing it for 10 years, you know? And some say five, some say 5 years, some say 10 years. But this guy, Steve Hostetter, he's a professional comedian, and he has a lot of great videos on YouTube where he goes into theory. And if you go onto Reddit, he has a whole series of posts on Reddit where he's actually giving you, like, comic theory and stuff. And so, like, the guy, I just think that the guy's actually going to, like, get bigger in the next few years. You know, if he comes out with a good special, he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah,
he's funny, and he like attacks hecklers, dude. That's how I found out about him, was on heckler videos.
Same. I literally like, I don't know why I specifically like videos like that. I like when like if you go to my like
embarrassing videos, yeah, cringe videos.
It's like embarrassing videos. Like I either watch like celebrities.
Whoa, you cut out. Sorry, dude. Hey, you glitched out again, bro. You're back now, though.
You're back.
Sorry.
I'm back. Yeah.
We're all still here. So what were you saying, though? You said you about the cringe videos, the embarrassing videos.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, like, I usually watch, like, celebrities, like, snapping on paparazzi. I don't know why that's hilarious to me. I watch news bloopers, like people who are like do the news that mess up. It's hilarious. Like, and heckler videos. I watch a lot of those. So.
Right. I say, have you seen the video? There's a video where it's Marc Maron doing stand up, and it's like the setup is so cheesy where he's on Conan. I think it's Marc Maron goes on Conan and he's like, I'm quitting comedy. I had a bad experience at a show this past weekend, and then they show a clip from the show, and he like he does a joke, and then Patrice O'Neill gets up out of the crowd. He's like, he's talking crap to Patrice O'Neill in the crowd, but Patrice is posing as a fan, like before Patrice was big, I guess. This was like a long time ago. Patrice gets up on stage and like fights Marc Maron on stage, and it's this big uncomfortable, like they were trying to kayfabe a
heckler
shoot fight. A stand-up gig, you know. And so it's pretty funny, dude. But no, there's a lot of great videos like that. I watch the exact same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So do you?
But you know, with wrestling, I wanted to slow down just because it like consumed my life for like all of 2015 and most of 2016. So you know, like 2014 was like my 2016 was like my initiation into the business, but then like 2015 came and I like hit it hard. Like it got real bad.
So. Do you think that I don't know, like it's like with wrestling, dude, like when I was in there, I mean that seems like what they were pushing you to do in the school when I was in. They want you to like go full force or whatever. And do you think that like that's something that you have to do or not? Like, because I look at guys like just guys that are in our scene, you know, guys like Houston Carson or Ryan Greenis. There's like a lot of guys that are doing really well. Raymond Rowe, a lot of guys that we've seen come out. And those are the guys that are actually like just breathing and sleeping wrestling all the time, you know. So I wonder what the difference is. That's experience too. Those guys have been wrestling for like 10 years already too. You know, maybe 5, 6 plus.
Well, the biggest difference between that is like you just said, it's they live and breathe. Things that have to do with wrestling, everything, every topic you talk about has to revolve around wrestling. You know? With me, I just I just love life, you know.
I guess, whatever. Yeah, I feel that. What I'm getting at is I think that the key to success in wrestling is to just like give yourself over to it, though. Maybe if you look at the guys that have actually blown up, those are the guys that just do that, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not trying to. I feel like I'm coming across negative. I'm not trying to.
Oh, no. I think the only person I've ever seen, like, if you watch any interview he's ever done before he got signed or before anything, the only person that's been so laid back that's not, like, so intense about wrestling is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. And,
like, when he talks about it, you think that he's not into wrestling. Like, yeah. he's just like, yeah, I did this. And he's like, dude, you just won the world title. And he's like, yeah, it's whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'd be, like, flipping out. Like... Like right. I'd be telling people that I haven't talked to you in like 15 years that I won the world title. Like,
right.
But I guess that's just me. But but like that's the only guy I've ever talked to, but that's the only person I've ever seen talk about wrestling that doesn't really sound like he likes wrestling.
And he was a champ.
Kel and Karen haven't said anything this whole time, and I wanna like ask them, like, since we're having such a wrestling heavy episode, like, I know we've heard Kel's probably before, but like, what is y'all's opinion on wrestling, and like, can y'all see like the interesting aspect of like all the stuff that we're talking about so far with this stuff? Kel?
Kel's like,
you look like you're about to fall asleep. You look like,
hold on. Hold on.
Uh-oh, here we go.
That's not gonna work.
Hey, Kale filmed some wrestling with us in Beaumont once.
Yeah, it was Beaumont, cool. It was exciting being there and stuff. Dragon Ball Z got to me way before wrestling did. And so, like, it's the same thing, though. Like, Dragon Ball Z and wrestling are the same thing. Oh, it's like you're watching these two guys, and there's a lot of dialogue and like build up in between it, and like, you're just as focused on what they're saying to each other or how they're like threatening each other. There's like a lot of drama in between these battles. And then there's like,
and there's high stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's high stakes. And then there's the big battle. And it's just, wrestling is a lot. Like, I compare it to Dragon Ball Z, and I just feel like I got Dragon Ball Z definitely first. So that's what I liked.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I had them both at the same time. Like, I mean, I feel what you're saying, 'cause I was watching DBZ when I was watching Raw as a kid, but that's what I mean. It's like, it's apples and oranges. That's not the right expression. It's the same thing is what I mean.
It's apples to apples.
Yeah. Apples and apples.
Gotcha.
It's oranges and oranges.
It's like there greens you go. And bananas.
Stop.
That's her one liner. It's apples to apples.
Yeah. You know, I say potato, you say potato.
There Karen, you go.
Karen, you've kind of told us about what you know about wrestling, but like, what's your stance on professional wrestling? What do you think when you hear the word professional wrestling?
Well, I mean, I kind of grew up watching it, and it was like drama and everything. There was a time where I stopped watching it because there's too much drama, and it was just like, man, stressing me out.
Stressed you out? Like, I don't know if Tori is really gonna, if her dad is gonna really bang Dawn Marie or not. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. No.
I saw one documentary from the mat, I think it's called. It's Mankind.
Beyond the Mat. Yeah, that's heavy, dude.
Yeah, that was so interesting. And I really like the wrestlers of the 80s, of course.
Yeah.
And, like, Piper was amazing. I totally loved him.
He was great and They Live.
You like the bad guys? The bad boys?
You know, not, well, like Hulk Hogan I never liked. I don't know. I thought he was just a little much.
Pretty lame.
Yeah. Yeah. Will you stop?
But like Brutus the Barber, I love the personalities. Yeah. And Eddie Guerrero even though I hated him for a while.
Eddie was hateable. Eddie was lovably hateable, dude.
He was.
Eddie's life. That's what it is.
Dude.
But I totally respect that even though they're in the ring and there's a certain amount of like acting for the drama, once they're in the ring, I mean, you got to respect them even, you know, if
the fact boils down to, and I'm not trying to convince you or like anything, I'm just saying, like, it boils down to they're doing something that like none of us know how to do.
Yeah.
And that's what it boils down to. None of us know how to get in that ring and do the stuff that these guys are doing. So that's what makes it awesome.
Exactly. I mean, the
whole... if we got in there, we like any drunk redneck can sit on the side and say, blah, blah, blah. But like, put them in the ring and they're not going to be able to make it look like what these guys are doing. You know what I mean?
Well, dude, that's exactly. How.
If they try to shoot on the guy, that guy's going to whoop their ass.
That's how pro wrestling started, man. It was all in the carnivals and. Yeah. They'd go to the town and they would.
Well, they would actually shoot fight.
They would get people from the crowd and beat the crap out of them. And then the champion guy would come in and like to save the day. And the friends would be like, yeah, man. They'd see this guy who got his ass beat out in the town and be like, man, yeah, it's real, man. And then the next day they'd have the match with the real wrestlers. And then, you know.
Oh, I never actually thought of it that way.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense that they would set it up like that.
That's what they did.
A real shoot, and then with a work after that.
Too. They would have like the big heel champ, the big heel guy in the ring, and they would say, "Who wants to fight?" And they'd pull right. Bubba, anyone out of the crowd, and he would just shoot on them, beat their ass. And then around the end, the plant, you know, the baby face would come in and challenge them, and then be like, "No, we have to do this. We're going to do this tomorrow. We're going to finish this tomorrow. Y'all come back." You know what I mean? It was brilliant.
They said the reason that that all started too was because when they originally started it, they were doing actual exhibitions, and that these matches were going for like 2-3 hours. Mm-hmm. I think like one of the longest matches was like a 7-hour match or 7 or 8 hour match.
Jeez.
And these guys were wrestling at a carnival outside, you know, like trying to get a finish, and that's crazy. So they had to. All the promoters got together and said, well, if we just make somebody win, then we can do whatever we do. You know, we can make money off of it, make stars or whatever.
There's something about being there live than just watching it on TV. Yeah. Like I went to a Raw event, and then I went to some other one. But the Raw, I mean, you're just like in the stands, and I mean, they pump you up so much. I mean, it's like electrifying.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just they really get you going, and they really get you to be for this guy or against, you know, good, bad, evil, whatever. But it's amazing what they do in the ring.
Yeah.
Even if they're told to lose or something, they're getting beat first. You know, I mean,
we still don't know that for sure.
I'm sure Kevin and Tyler can both tell you. Kevin,
it's still real to me.
And he got
In training, and Tyler, I don't know. Like you could probably attest to it, dude. Like it's serious. Like I hurt my wrist. I took a clothesline one time, threw my arm up, and my wrist cracked. And like my wrist still pops weird. Like my wrist is weird now. You know, like I took bumps, and I couldn't learn how to do bumps right at first.
I remember you sending me pictures of you ran the ropes, and you had like all these welts. And I'm like,
tear you up.
I'm like, how come they never have that? Like in like you never see WWE guys with like welts on the ropes. You just get used to it, or what?
Those guys push you. Like the guys that are at least on the local level and stuff. These guys are vets on a local level, and they worked for the big companies when they were big companies a while ago. You know, but they're still names that are training down here. It's still good names that are training. And they're actually pushing and beating the hell out of you because that's how they look. You know? And so that if you can get past that, then you're okay, I guess. Yep. Which the pain was never an issue to me. It was just like my transportation and my time in life is just I waited too long. I should have got in sooner, and I didn't.
Yeah,
but.
I got in around the they call it the perfect age. It's around like 18 or 19. I got in when I was 19, and I'm 22 now, and I feel like
I'm 28. I got in when I was 25 and tried it, and I already had a bad injury. So there was guys that were like 34, like trying to start, you know. So I mean, there's no limit. You can start whenever you want, but. You got to be able to go. You got to be able to take it. You got to be able to whenever an injury happens, you got to be able to deal with that, you know, and that's you got to be able to get to practice to train in the first place. That's the that's the main thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I say, like I don't want to like discriminate anybody that wants to train past it, but like I feel like the perfect, I feel like the deadline for you to train is like, I think it's like 33, you know, like 32 or 33. Just because like it's not really like I hate to say this because it's sort of true, sort of not true, because like AJ Styles is old and it's like it's kind of like a young man's game now, you know, like back in the day. Yeah. like DDP was 35 and he started training to be a wrestler, you know, and Batista started at 35, you know.
So Batista's a year older than Triple H, or a year younger than Triple H. He's somewhere like right around Triple H's age.
Yeah, I thought he was way younger.
Like, yeah.
Just because, like, when I was growing up, because like I started getting into wrestling 2001 or 2002, like hardcore into it. And I went to Booker T's fantasy camp, and I told this straight to his face. He goes, what was your first experience in wrestling? I said, when you got beat up in a supermarket.
Tell me. He was like, you did not just say that.
That match was awesome.
He thought it was awesome. And like, I was astonished, because I was like, you were my first wrestling experience ever. Like, because I was going to the living room as a little kid, and my uncle was watching wrestling, and I see this guy just getting the hell beat out of him in a supermarket.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, this is wrestling. I was like, this happens all the time. And I never seen anything like that ever again, and it was real disappointing. But I got into hardcore, into wrestling. So
I remember being a kid, and Hugh's from a different era. He's from like the era right before us. And you and me are probably right around the same time. But I remember, like, I hated Steve Austin. I hated Steve Austin when I was a kid, because he was, like, this ignorant redneck that, like, it was everything I hated. Nowadays, I love Steve, and I'm, like, all about everything that he does, because I see what it is. I see, like, what he did with his character and stuff. But I remember at the time, dude, this is no joke. When I was a kid riding the school bus, I didn't have cable television. I had regular three channels, and we had UPN, and SmackDown was the only wrestling show we could watch.
Oh boy.
And I thought, when I was a kid, like 10, 11 years old, I thought that SmackDown was The Rock show, because The Rock would come out on SmackDown and say, this is The Rock show. And so I thought that The Rock was the main character of SmackDown, and that everybody else was like supportive roles around The Rock that was like building up his show, or you know what I mean, like that was the way it. And so like Steve and The Rock, the whole thing with that, I was all about Dwayne Johnson when I was a kid.
Gotcha.
And I thought that, and I, all the kids would get on the bus and talk about WCW, and I'd be like, yeah, well, they're not like The Rock though, you know, like, like, you know.
Yeah, I got it.
I was such a mark when I was a kid, and I just loved it and believed all. I didn't believe it all, because I heard, you always heard the stuff, but I still believed in it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like still supporting my dude.
See, I got it like very early on. Like, I was born in '88, and my dad like loved that stuff.
Yeah.
So I got it when like Ultimate Warrior, like I like coming to, and I was like five, because you don't know what you're doing when you're that young.
Right.
But coming to when I was five, I saw like the Ultimate Warrior and like the Ultimo Dragon and like stuff like that, and I was like, yes, I like this stuff. And then like flash forward, like I don't remember most mid '90s, but then I remember when like Raw came out, and then like I was a huge Steve Austin mark when I was a kid. Like, I love that stuff. Like, I watched Raw.
He was a bad guy.
I watched Raw.
Why would you like him?
I don't know, dude. I watched Raw for Steve Austin back in those days. And but, I was, like maybe 8 or 9 or 10? I was in fifth grade.
What was Ultimate Warrior?
The Ultimo Dragon. Or the Warrior.
What is that, Ultimo Dragon?
Ultimo Dragon was a luchador on WCW.
Oh.
Huh. It was like and from Japan.
Ultimate Warrior was on WWF. He was the guy with the.
He was on Raw too.
Load the spaceship with rocket fuel.
Does anybody remember a show in like the early to mid '90s where it was like fake kung fu?
No.
You don't remember that show, and it would be like three or four dudes doing kung fu, and all these dudes in masks would come after them, and they'd like whoop them, and then there would be like a little bit of story in between.
Not really.
You don't remember the show?
You know, I think you're catching on a little bit of something in my memory bank, but I don't really remember it.
We'll have to look it up, because I remember looking it up one day, and I found it. I found the show.
Really?
And it was this old show. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm saying old. It was in the 90s, and it was, yeah, it was just that. It was like staged up ninja fights, and it would be like three or four ninja dudes and like taking on like 20 of these minions in masks that would come after them.
That's
I remember my whole timeline. My whole timeline was like Barney, Power Rangers, wrestling, and then Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, boy.
And wrestling and Dragon Ball Z. But yeah. that's what I was into when I was younger, for sure. I still like some anime, and I still watch wrestling. I still love wrestling.
Now it's wrestling and One Punch Man.
Yeah, wrestling and One Punch Man. Evangelion, old school anime.
Mine growing up was wrestling and wrestling. That was it. Like, I lived it and breathed it. Like,
I liked it a whole bunch, man. It was, I still do. I still really do.
Yeah, I watched it. People make fun of me a lot. Like, a lot of my buddies, they were like, what's your favorite year in wrestling? And I said, 2003. They said, why? I was like, because my favorite wrestler at the time was Goldberg. And, like, I still go crazy for Goldberg. I don't know why, but, like, back then I was a huge Goldberg fan. And when he came to the WWE, I was a massive Goldberg fan. So.
Yeah.
Or no, like, during that
2003 was probably, like, end of the invasion, after the draft had just started. Stuff like that, I guess. It was, like, after they had already had the draft in for a while, then they brought Goldberg in.
Yeah. The only feud I really remember from that year was Kane versus Shane McMahon.
No,
really? Yeah, that was the only feud I like fondly remember.
Well, it was like after my favorite, like after Stone Cold started like singing acoustic guitar songs.
I think that's what was going on.
I was getting into Dragon Ball Z, and I was like, nah, like I'm like all about Pokemon. I'm playing like Pokemon on Game Boy and stuff. Like, nah, I'm not watching wrestling anymore. And I stopped. I quit watching wrestling until he got back into wrestling like 4 years ago, and then I started watching.
So you were, you've been, ever since then, you've been all the way across the board into it. You watched all the way from 2003 up, all the way through Kofi and the Spirit Squad, and I mean not just WWE, but you've watched other promotions and stuff too. You've been in it.
Yeah.
Or did you fall out and then like do other stuff?
I actually fell out during between 2009 and the end of 2013. I stopped watching.
Yeah.
It was a little too cartoony for me. It was like a little, I don't know, like it was a little too dumb for me.
That was when like the Divas division was like going with all the chicks, all the bubblegum chicks, and then like it was like Sheamus and Cena and stuff like this. Is that what was happening during that time?
The only thing that was fascinating was Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
I guess that's when the Cena and the Rock stuff happened too.
But that was during like the height of the like the punk era too, right?
That was punk with 13.
Like I stopped watching full shows. Like now I'm watching right now. I'm watching Tribute to the Troops, but like I stopped watching full shows, and like I would only record it like on DVR and like catch up, like to stay like informed. But between 2009 and 2013, I stopped watching like full episodes. So, like, I would stay updated, and punk was, like, a huge inspiration.
Yeah.
For, like, I don't know. With my character, I don't take things too seriously. Like, someone can be, like, right here, like, yelling at me, saying that they're, you know, going to kick my ass, and I'd laugh, because that's what I would do in real life.
Right.
So, yeah. I heard
this story. Have you heard that story about a... It was actually on Cornette's last podcast. He was talking about this about whenever, and we talked about it whenever we were playing the game the other night. About whenever Santino laughed at the boogeyman. You heard the story? And so
I watched that. Like I saw that he had beef with with Santino, I was like, ah, Cornette has beef with everybody. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So, but the beef is that Santino, the boogeyman was trying to be, they were trying to put the boogeyman over as a monster, and Santino laughed in the face of the boogeyman, and it like weakened the character or something like this. They couldn't edit it or something like this, which, you know, Cornette's crazy and picky and stuff too, you know, and it's OVW. So, but it's just an interesting thing. It's like, that's how careful you have to be in wrestling, that you're going to bury somebody like just by doing something like that, laughing or
like that small,
getting chips on their bag, you know?
Yeah. I'm actually really happy of how like wrestling has grown, because like, you know, back in the day, there wasn't like schools everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Like nowadays, you can go anywhere, and you can go to any town. There's going to be a school there. There's going to be a promotion there, or in that territory. But back,
at least in the county, in any county, there's going to be a school within the next 2 or 3 hours. Yeah, you'd be able to get to a school.
So, like wrestling has grown to me because, like, we have so many, like, we have so much, like. If you look at the span of wrestling right now, from WWE to the Indies to like to Ring of Honor to New Japan, we have so much talent that's like that is just really talented.
Yeah,
and
with the social media, all these guys can get noticed too. Somebody can get noticed overnight just for one spot, dude.
Yeah,
and
look at a guy like James Ellsworth. Like, he did one jobber match. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know, like. You grow. I don't know. I think people's attitudes should grow with the profession that's growing. You know, like their attitude should grow because, you know, we shouldn't have this very short-minded mindset that we're going to pick on the new guys that come here and we're going to make them hate wrestling. You know, like
right.
I think everybody should love everybody. You know, if everybody loves everybody, we're going to put on a hell of a show and. What's wrong with that, you know?
So, for sure.
That's my attitude every time I go, you know. I still follow the old rules, you know, go in, shake everybody's hands, talk to everybody. I still follow those rules, but, you know, I don't have to be so uptight about it, you know? Like, no one has to be all uptight and, like, stiff all the time. I think everybody should just loosen.
I think that's where me and Kevin get a little bit, like, sometimes when we're at the shows, we're like, do we need to do this? Are we doing something that's going to make them mad? Or, you know what I mean? Cause
that's definitely a thing that, like, in our role as camera guys, that's definitely something where we feel like we're in the way or stepping on toes sometimes or something. I think, you know, I feel that way sometimes when I'm at shows where I'm like, I need to just get out of the way. Like, I don't need to be standing here. You know what I mean? And so, and that just comes from my knowledge of when I did get a little glimpse behind the curtain that I'm like, you know, this isn't, I'm just wondering, and it's different in smaller territories. There's still old school rules and stuff like this, and I like that about it. You know, I really respect that.
It's really cool to see some old school stuff, but it's also like when you get around it and you're around it all the time, like the old school way of life, it's just like it gets kind of irritating.
Right.
Like, I love the old school way because I believe everybody should pay respect, and when you're talking to a veteran, I think you just sit down and shut up, you know, like, because they got some great knowledge. I still follow that, you know, like, I had a match with Hambone and Walker last show.
Right.
And, you know, and I just sat there and I listened. I didn't say one thing. I didn't say, I want to do this and y'all are going to do this. No, I sat there and I listened. There was a couple things that I was uncomfortable with that I did anyways. I've never taken a T-bone suplex, but I still did it.
Yeah.
If you can trust anybody with a T-bone, it's Hambone, Doug.
Yeah.
But
in that same kind of like deal, like a huge reason why I got back into wrestling is because we were watching Dusty Rhodes promos and stuff like that. And I love like vintage, like that kind of stuff. But
well, like
that was a big reason why I started liking it again.
I listen to Taz a lot. I've been listening to Taz's podcast a lot, or his show. And he said something to what you were saying just now about if guys don't want to take something, they don't have to take something. Like you said, if you weren't comfortable, you still took it. But what he was trying to push was the fact that like guys don't have to take moves they don't want to take, you know, like, so if a guy agrees to take something, that's the way it is.
Yeah, there's some of these veterans that just, like, get really pissed if you don't take a move. And you're just like, I don't want to take that. And they're like, well, you're basically shunned from the locker room because you didn't take this power bomb from the top rope. You know? Man.
And Taz was talking about, you know, he was a suplex specialist. So he was talking about times when guys wouldn't take his suplexes. And so he had to figure out something else to do. You know, that's the interesting part about pro wrestling to me. There's a lot of that's interesting to me about it, but that whole like structuring of the match and like deciding what the spots, what everything's, well, how everything's going to be, whatever. But like that's really what he was saying is just like, I never made anybody do anything they didn't want to do, and if they took it, then they wanted to take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so.
Crazy.
Absolutely, and that's the way I see things. Like I shouldn't be scared to go into a ring with somebody.
Oh yeah,
like just because they're a vet and just because they've been in it for a long time, you know, I'm gonna respect them. I'm gonna sit down and listen. But once they say like something absolutely ridiculous, like, you know, like Masada, like I love Masada. I love hanging out with him. I love like listening. But if he said, "Hey, you're taking spikes to the head," I'm like, "No." Like I wouldn't be comfortable with that because, you know,
maybe I'm just a mark, but I would be like, yes, sir, Masada, Mr. Masada, please spike me in the head.
Masada is like still the one dude out there who's like intimidating because like he never really talks to us or anything. And he's just kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, Tyler, we told this story once, but it was at the last show where you were at when Masada had his match with Raymond's. So he's getting out of the ring and I'm holding the camera. I'm shooting the match, and behind me, somebody in the crowd, as the match is ending, he's getting out of the ring. Somebody behind me says, "Y'all should do a death match next time." And they say it all negative. They're like, "Do a death match next time." And Masada gets out of the ring and gets in the guy's face. I didn't catch it on camera. He got in the guy's face. He says, "Tell him to book it." It's like, oh God. I'm like standing there just hearing it, you know, like not on camera. I'm just like, oh man, this guy's serious. He'll do it.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to have to wrap up the fire pit right here. And thanks to Tyler for coming on. And don't forget to head out to Beaumont and check out Hurricane Pro. And you can check it out online at hurricanepro.info. Go subscribe to the YouTube, because guess what? We make that happen. We film it, edit it, throw it up there, and it's good stuff. They got good people out there. So go check that out. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. Go to firepittv.com and the podcast and everything else. So y'all do that, and then we'll catch y'all next time on the Fire Pit.
Yee!
In the cold, in the distance, where the sky saw lands reviving the existence, go with the breeze, ooh, the assassins of the supersonic maze, phase of quiet. Suffer.